You're listening to Hottery Humble.
Hello there.
Wow.
Welcome to episode 17 of the Hard to Be Humble podcast. I am the humblest man on earth, Tommy Stickle, and I am joined today by the illustrious co-host, the boringest man on earth, aka the greatest value in all the earth, Chad Graham. How are you doing today, Chad?
Hey, I'm great. Big Hogs win. We're recording. It's Monday night. Hogs just won. Hogs win.
Hogs win. That's right. What a game. Let's just get straight into it.
Let's hop in.
Okay. Let's start here. How do you feel? Are you like elated? Are you happy that we won? Or is it kind of like mixed? I feel like it's mixed feelings for some reason. We should be pumped.
I'm excited we won. Because I did not expect us to win, honestly. We were favored to win. But I don't feel good. The last 9 minutes, 10 minutes were gross. So it's a good learning experience. It's super early in the season. We are way undersized. That was very obvious tonight. We were undersized. But the scoring droughts, I think it's got to be to fatigue. We got seven guys basically going. They're tired. Joe's got to hit those open shots, though.
Yeah, I feel like you hit on a few things for sure. I think fatigue played the biggest factor at the end of the game for sure. Like the no points were even scored for 4 minutes of the overtime. Isn't that right? Like a minute 14 or something. Yeah. That's when they scored their first little short two pointer, if I'm not mistaken, if I'm remembering everything right.
Yeah.
They definitely got tired, beat down.
They weren't even playing in overtime.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think it was great experience. It was our first experience seeing how Muss would manage a game like that at the end. And he did the style that was more of the Mike Anderson style at the end of the game. Just let him play it out and I guess we won ultimately by letting that happen, which is great, but it was kind of a lucky shot. And, you know, to win during regulation.
Kind of a lucky shot. It was a extremely lucky shot.
Well, Mason Jones didn't feel that way, I don't think.
I melted when he shot the ball. I was like, stupid, okay.
I've already looked at Twitter since the game. Did you see the reactions from it? Apparently, Khalil Garland from the bench, like before it even hit the backboard, he was already up and running down like he knew it was going in. It was kind of cool.
Really? I haven't seen it yet.
He probably didn't know it was going in, but he definitely jumped up and was like already running before it even hit the rim or the backboard.
What is crazy, what I did see, is that Isaiah Joe led our team in rebounds.
Wow.
That's 9 boards.
Wow.
So shot 30% from 3 out of 10. That is bad for Isaiah Joe. 4 for 14 from the field. Woof.
To his credit, yeah. He, you know, off offensively.
He started off hot.
He does some really good plays, though. A lot of hustle plays in that game. Yep. I think it was getting close to the end of regulation, and he shot a 3, missed it. It kind of went off the front of the iron there so that Georgia Tech kind of got a breakaway, and he hustled. And, you know, they had kind of like a 3-on-1 kind of situation, and he hustled and stole that ball when the guy didn't see him coming from behind. And I was like, those type of hustle plays, I think, really make Isaiah Joe a really elite player.
Yeah, that's true. He's really expanded his game.
Yep.
Before, it was just the guy who shot threes. Now he's dunking. He's getting steals. He's diving on the floor. He's getting rebounds. But still, you're our guy who hits threes when open. He's still got it. We need him to do that.
Yeah, we didn't really have any guy that I felt like could make a three at the end of that game for some reason.
Oh, no, I need more Reggie Chaney. We really needed Reggie Chaney this game. He was not present at all.
I don't remember him. I don't even recall him much doing much of anything.
I remember Chaney getting burnt on the putback dunk. And that's the last we saw of Chaney, was that he was just like standing there with his eyes open, his hands up, and that guy comes in and slams down. Mm-hmm. And then we don't see Chaney anymore, which I respect Musk for doing that. But you go get the rebound. What I remember from Silla is, surprise, surprise, missed three-point attempt. Haven't seen him all year.
I love the color commentator even mentioning it. He was like, 1-for-9 on the year. Not the guy you want shooting a three-pointer.
He's not even hesitating. And then possibly the worst offensive foul attempt, the charge attempt I've ever seen in my life at the beginning of that game.
Oh.
Stop, Silla. Stop.
Yeah, I feel like there's nothing that he's going to do that's going to fix that either. You know, by that I mean I think all year long he's going to be our hog that we just love to hate. He's going to be our love-to-hate hog.
Even if he hits that game winner, I'm still mad at him.
So speaking of hitting a game winner, I think I've already mentioned this or asked you about this. Mason Jones, do you like him now? Can you forgive him of the Texas game last year?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good.
Mason's my guy now, yeah. 24 points tonight.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a hard, I guess you'd say a hard-fought game, just kind of game that just got sluggish. We let Georgia Tech back in it. This was a game that I knew I had pegged as, okay, this team has big guys. They have rebounders. They have those type that they are shaped like the type of team we will see in conference play. They're a real team. This will be a good measuring stick for us. And the fact that we can pull out a win on the road, it's just huge, I think, for us. And I think that will build a lot of momentum for the players mentally and just a good game. I'm glad we were able to win.
Adrio can really hang with the big guys. I mean, he's undersized, but that's why we need Chaney down there, is that he's actually big. So, I don't know. But Adrio, man, to his credit, but when they're switching all those screens, so you could tell they were doing a high screen with whoever Adrio was guarding, so they'll switch him. So they'd stick, like, you know, one of our smaller guards on the center, and they would just expose him and then get him down the block and then get an easy two. So, you were going to see that all year.
Yep.
So in that, when you're playing small, that's going to happen, but you got to knock down threes. That's the benefit to playing small, is you get open threes. So you kind of lose your edge when you're running four guards, basically, when you're not able to hit down the jumper.
Got to hit it.
Got to hit the jumper. Honestly, we shouldn't have won that game. So on the road, especially like that, we had no business winning that ball game. So you feel good walking away from one of those that you shouldn't have won.
I agree. You do feel good. It's one of those, I think in the moment, it feels kind of icky. It's like, oh, did we deserve that? Of course we did. We won.
Yeah.
And we'll feel much better about it. We'll look back on it in a month and be like, yeah, we beat them on the road. We smoked them.
Yeah, you got to take those where you get them.
I liked at the end of the game whenever Mason Jones was shushing the crowd and showboating and all the stuff that we all aren't really a fan of. Musselman about ripped his head off trying to get him to go sit down. Did you see this? He definitely said the F word at him. He was saying some bad stuff to Mason Jones. He was like, the game's not over. We're about to get something bad. I don't even know what would have happened having six guys on the court. Something bad would have happened. Yeah. And you can just tell that Musselman, he's hard on Mason Jones because he needs to be. But if he can coach him perfectly, he'll bring out the absolute best in Mason Jones. And it seems like he's doing it. I hope that continues.
Yeah. Still held him to 18% from three. Just like, when are we going to have an off night on our perimeter defense? Surely someone's going to go off and hit some threes, right?
You'd think.
It was the stat line. We're number one in the country on
in threes.
Awesome. So yeah. That was like the single most frustrating thing to watch. pretty cool that Yurchek was there. Did you see him in the stands?
Yeah, he looked happy too. He looked like he was in control of the situation. Yeah. I've got to imagine that maybe I'm reading too much into it, but I'm like, that's probably a good sign for the next football hire. Like, if he's got time just to go see a game in Atlanta, have a good time, smile, have fun. He doesn't seem like he's under too much stress right now.
Couple big games in December coming up before conference play. Western Kentucky, December 7th. That's a big one. That's at Bowling Green. They've dominated us in sports lately, unfortunately. Basketball last year.
Who would have thought?
I mean, they got an old Mississippi State coach. What's his name? Stansbury?
Oh, is it Rick?
Yeah. Rick, yeah. So he's coaching there. He's doing a good job. And then, obviously, at Indiana on the 29th. So, two big non-conference games still before we start. Conference play, so good stuff.
And our next Razorback basketball, men's basketball game, Saturday, November 30th. So, after Thanksgiving on Saturday, that's the next time you can see the basketball team play. We're playing Northern Kentucky, the illustrious Northern Kentucky, at 4 p.m. Mark it down, people. Our next game after that will be Tuesday, December 3rd against Austin Peay. But we'll probably record a podcast before then, so I'll mention that again at that time. So, Chad, in the spirit of Thanksgiving, wanted to play a little matchy-matchy, gamey-gamey with you right now about Thanksgiving. And
don't say that again.
Yeah, I won't. I'm immediately striking that out of my vocabulary. So, what I want you to do, I'm going to name a Thanksgiving staple food, you know, one of the big foods that you have at Thanksgiving. And I want you to match it with a Razorback men's basketball player on the team. I'm going to name a food, you name a player, and maybe if you want to give an explanation why, great. If you don't have an explanation, that's completely acceptable. Okay. So I'm going to start out with the big dog, with the big one.
I'll probably have an explanation. I'm going to try to answer as quickly as possible too, this has not been rehearsed at all.
All right. So we're going to start out with the big guns. Turkey.
Adrio Bailey. Easily. Adrio is the heart and soul. You think about the turkey and the meal, it's the heart and soul of the meal.
Like, that's right.
The turkey is the culture champion of the table.
He's the beautiful bird that gets put in the center of the table. Grandma brings him in, proud of it, just all buttered up.
The leader. I mean, the turkey. Leading the charge on that meal. That's what Adrio's doing, man. That guy, he's our only presence in the lane, inside, down deep. So he's heart and soul of the team.
Nice. All right, let's go next. Ham.
Ooh, the ham. Mason Jones, because he's kind of a ham anyway. He kind of does stupid stuff.
Yeah. But
he's a protein. He's going to score his points. You got to have him out
there. He's a protein. You know?
Nice. For building muscle. That guy's going to hit free throws, and he's going to do some stupid stuff. And well, what a ham, right? But then you're going to also score some buckets at the same time.
Sounds great. All right. Next we'll do these are two different things, but I'm going to do them together. Mashed potatoes and brown gravy.
Ooh.
So that can be two different players, kind of that complement each other or whatever you want to do.
I'm going to go one up. I'm going to say one player is both. You ready for this? Mashed potatoes, Isaiah Joe, because he's silky smooth out there. He's got the smoothest shot out there. Just like a smooth whipped mashed potatoes. It's still hearty. At the same time, he's also the brown gravy. You know why? Because he's making these hustle plays now. He's all over the place. You pour the brown gravy on the mashed potatoes, you see it go everywhere. That's Isaiah Joe.
You could finish off the whole plate with just brown gravy on all of it.
That's true. That's a great point. Isaiah Joe compliments any player and you can put gravy on anything. So he compliments the whole team. Great point.
All right. Now let's go stuffing. Who's the stuffing? Now, I feel like this could be one that it's kind of like a take it. Some people love it. Some people really aren't a big fan of it, though. So,
Desi Sills, he's definitely a stuffing guy. And I feel like Desi Sills, although horrific from the three-point line, is starting to figure it out. And there's some guys that just love him because he's always hustling out there. He's always hustling. But he can kind of get on your nerves sometimes. Like, Desi, what are you doing? So some people may not, you know, be particularly liking him.
All right. Mac and cheese.
Mac and cheese, Jimmy Witt. I mean, everyone is looking forward to mac and cheese on Thanksgiving. Jimmy Witt, I'm looking forward to him and his horrible free throw shooting. But you know what? That guy's got a nice little mid-range jumper. Not tonight, but he typically has it. And mac and cheese, sometimes you'll just show up and you'll get a bad batch of mac and cheese. Sometimes, you know, mama just didn't make it right. So that's what happened tonight to my man, Jimmy.
That's what I was going to say. It's like, everybody does mac and cheese a little different. You never know what you're getting. You know, some nights you show up and the mac and cheese is awesome. Sometimes they baked it instead of, I don't know. There's all different, you know, you don't know what you're getting. I like that. Jimmy Witt, the mac and cheese. All right, now let's go green beans.
Green beans, Scylla. The biggest disappointment to the Thanksgiving meal, the green beans. Come on. Nobody wants vegetables on the table. What do we, I can't even say our nicknames for him, but
yeah, we've come up with some good ones.
He is no Thrilla, Vanilla by design. Scylla is who he is.
That's right.
But no one, everyone's always disappointed. No one wants to make room for green beans on your plate. But guess what, Tommy? You need them. You need green beans on your plate. So here's a little bit of an upset pick. Got to have Sill out there because he's a big body. So you need him. Nobody wants him, but you need him out there on the plate.
That's true. It's true. Can't deny. Okay. Next, let's go a little dessert here. Pumpkin pie.
Pumpkin pie. Jalen Harris is my pumpkin pie. That guy, although not hearty, not a protein, this guy cannot shoot at all. But he also is silky smooth out there. He makes some really good passes. He makes you feel good, just like pumpkin pie does. But at the same time, your belly's not going to be full of just Jalen Harris. You're going to want something more. But he can definitely come off the bench, give you a little spark, give you a hustle play. But your belly ain't going to be full, Tommy.
That's right. Well, I think we've named eight players now, and that's kind of the main ones of that get playing time. Do you have it?
I got one more. I guess the forgotten food of Thanksgiving is Reggie Chaney, I guess. Oh, but
you're right. I totally forgot about Reggie Chaney. I was going to say cranberry sauce was my next one. And yeah. I don't know if that goes with Reggie Chaney. I feel like
that's where I'm at. I mean, I'm kind of meh on cranberry sauce, and I'm kind of meh on Reggie Chaney right now. Hasn't played in many games because he did something stupid, obviously. And we needed you tonight. And we needed something good on Thanksgiving. Cranberry sauce is just, I'm not excited about cranberry sauce.
Gives you kind of a bitter taste in your mouth a little bit from the first games. Okay. A little sweet sometimes.
But you don't think about Thanksgiving without cranberry sauce.
True.
Like, you got to have him out there. He's an integral part, but he ain't doing it right now for me.
The only other thing I can think of at the moment is deviled eggs.
Coach Muss is the deviled eggs, man. He's such a deviled egg.
He's a deviled egg.
Deviled egg. Awesome. I bet if you ask Coach Muss if he was a deviled egg, he'd totally be on board for that.
Well, awesome. Well, thanks for doing that little whatever that was. You know, getting in the spirit of Thanksgiving. It was fun for me. I'll say it that way. So, Chad, last time we recorded, we were not able to touch at all upon the South Dakota game. I know this game, the Georgia Tech game, is kind of in our minds of most recent. Mm. But, you know, again, let's touch on South Dakota. You know, great victory. It was we beat them more handily than I thought we would. It was easier for us. Again, we knew we'd be tested with their excellent three-point shooting ability and our excellent three defense. So what, if any, were some of your takeaways from that game?
Great game planning by Musselman up to that game. I mean, they really shut down the one score that they had. What was his? I forgot. He was shooting like 80% from three on the year, and we held him one of – I forgot what it was. But not good. So really good game planning. I mean, South Dakota isn't a team that's just going to – you know, not a Power 5 team, but it was a good team still. And so it was exciting for them to really – they just put, they put their foot on the gas at the end of the game and just put them away, and that was nice. So it was nice to see. Basketball is coming in right now at probably the lowest point in football that we've had in our lifetime. So it's like such a perfect time to like transition fans over there. And so, I don't know, it's easy to get on board. We miss winning.
I feel like you can kind of tell that that's happening too. Like even in the Georgia Tech game, at the end of it, there was a loud hog call. And when we were scoring, it was like a eruption of, like there were a lot of Razorback fans there. I felt like I don't even know. I haven't seen pictures of the crowd, but just by volume on the TV, I was like, is half this thing filled with Razorback fans right now? I think it's just a sign of the passion that Razorback fans have, and we're really excited about basketball. And you can just tell it's getting close. You know, it's on the upswing. It's building. That momentum is building. It's about, if we can, if this continues to build, it's going to get pretty crazy, I think.
Yeah.
By, you know, conference play, by SEC tournament time. If we're looking like this at that time, man, I think the state's going to be pretty on fire this year. But we'll see. Hopefully we can keep it up.
Think about it. Here's the thing, Tommy, is even if they fall short of the tournament, which is very possible given who's on our roster, they're going to be competitive. But think about next year. And I mean, you know, Hawks fans always say, wait till next year. But think about this recruiting class. We just got Jalen Williams to commit last week. That guy is awesome. And then we got hopefully another one on Thursday. We're the number 8 recruiting class in the nation right now. Could jump up to the top 5, top 6 with if we get KK Robinson. So pretty cool. Like regardless of what Musk does this year, everyone's going to be fired up.
That's right. Yeah, getting Jalen was super exciting for me. I was a little bit scared that he might go somewhere else, like Auburn, but he decided to stay home. And KK Robinson, he's the last of the big 5 to decide where he wants to go. I think he's down to Arkansas or Kansas. So, I mean, that's an elite, blue blood, awesome school. So if he chooses Arkansas, that says a lot about these guys buying in. And man, people are going to be so fired up about that team, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm with you. It's building. It's exciting to see. I know every Hog fan is kind of already in the mindset of like, oh gosh, this already seems to be going good. So let's, when is Mus leaving? I bet Musselman will quit like midway through this year, you know, because we can't ever have anything good. You know, I think a lot of Arkansas fans are gearing up for disappointment already for some reason. But my take on that, I think that I don't really know if Musselman has another NCAA job that he really wants. You know, for instance, if Duke became available, would that be desirable to him? I mean, I guess, but I think we're going to pay him enough money, if he earns it, to stay happy from a financial perspective. You can't really make a lot more money going to the NBA coaching there, and there's so much more pressure and so much, you know, basically to have success in the NBA as a coach, you either have to be, you know, one of the best ever or have a superstar talent, you know, so that's pretty difficult to just fall into. So I'm just thinking, you know, I don't think Musselman has like a dream NCAA job. He might want to go back to the pros, but if things are going well at Arkansas, I can't see a reason that he would want to leave unless he just doesn't like recruiting or something. If there's something about NCAA basketball he doesn't like, I think he's gonna stick with Arkansas for a while.
I mean, he's like, I feel like he came to college because of like recruiting, like that's his calling. So, little off topic here, but watching the game, I don't know if you saw this while you're streaming, But did you see the infomercial on the Radical Racers?
Yes, I did.
I just saw, I'm seeing some people tweet about it as well, saying they've bought, I bought two Radical Racers, I just bought 10. Like, and my son was pretty into it as well. Those things drive on the walls, bro.
They can,
like,
drive on the ceiling, Chad.
Ceiling and around the doors. How is this possible? Like, do I want one? Yeah. Do I want one of each color? Yeah.
Will it be broken in maximum of 3 hours time of unboxing that puppy? You better believe it. You got a 3 hour lifespan on that thing. You're going to have it on the ceiling. You're going to be like, yeah, man. And it's just going to unsuck and just explode on the floor.
What happens if you like run into a vent or a light and then it comes off the ceiling, right?
Yeah.
It's worth it though. That's $20 you could spend.
Apparently, from the commercial, I think, which I saw at minimum 50 times, based on how the streaming stuff all works, you know, the technology was that it has a fan that creates a suction vortex on the bottom of it. So I imagine that anything that breaks that, anything that can break that suction, so basically any unlevel surface, yeah, it's falling right off.
Yeah, worth it. And it lights up, too. I don't know if you saw that.
I did see that, and then I loved the little asterisk that they put in the top right corner that said, like, effects, visual effects enhanced, I think's what it said. So they wanted to make you know that, yes, it does have lights, but these were enhanced just a bit, you know.
Sorry, off topic, but that was a highlight for me for the game. So it's a big deal. Go Hogs.
Go Hogs. Well, let's jump on over then to hockey. The hockey team went over to Alabama and had a very successful two-game road trip. The first game, they beat Alabama 12-0. And then the second game, a little bit more competitive. They won 6-3. So great job, hockey. That raises their overall season record to 24 wins, one loss. They're just destroying people. So keep going out, supporting them, love them. It's going to be a while before you can see a home game, though. Looks like January 17th is going to be the first home game. They're playing University of Alabama, Huntsville. So mark your calendars, January 17th in the Springdale area. Go watch them play. They have upcoming games. They don't have any this upcoming weekend, but December 6th and 7th, they are having a road trip to Ole Miss, and then later on, they'll be going to Kansas. So get geared up for that. Keep supporting them. Love those hockey hogs. They're awesome. Suga Sawara, mention them every week.
Love them.
He's the man. So, Chad, let's dive into some of our listener texts. We didn't have any voicemails, so we're going to dive right into some text messages. Of course, guys, you know who texted me. Andy from Memphis.
Andy!
And cool thing about Andy is that Andy kind of can shed some light into Hugh Freeze a little bit. I know in the last podcast, he's one of the guys that I kind of threw out there as a proven winner, you know, obviously had his downfall, but is he in the mix? To be honest, I haven't really heard anything coming from our media beat writers or anything about Hugh Freeze. So I highly doubt he's in the mix, but still Andy, like I said, is in Memphis where Hugh Freeze is from and coached at Briarcrest. Mm. So Andy's also a football coach in the Memphis area. So he's got a little bit of, you know, some
inside scoop.
Maybe some inside scoop. It's nothing, you know, crazy here, but I think Andy's got a nice little opinion. It's a long text. I'm just going to read it. Y'all enjoy though.
Hit me with it.
He says, Tommy, buckle in. This is going to be a long one. First, I'm Andy from Memphis, and he all caps Memphis. So he's proud of Memphis. And I must tell you what, you think you know about Hugh Freeze being a holy man. Freeze is wrong. The man started his career at Briarcrest High School in Memphis. I have personally coached against the man. Being in the coaching profession, we know and hear a lot more than is known to the public. I would believe that.
Yeah, I believe that.
He was no secret at all about his lady friends or about what he was willing to do to get the best players. While he was at Briarcrest, this really wasn't against the rules, as it was a private school, and they could do whatever they want as far as getting players. Now, I like this part. Now, Nutt is a scumbag as well.
Ooh.
But he was not the one that rolled over on Freeze, even though he would have had every right to do so. So that was kind of the story, I believe. And hey, you know, Andy telling me this, I might believe it. I want to believe that Nutt did it, so I'm still going to believe that Nutt did it. But
I called that play.
That's what it comes down to. You just believe what you want to believe. The story that it was Nutt that did all the cheating was a lie put out by Ole Miss to try and save face. When the NCAA report have come out of the 21 violations, they cite 19 were during the time of Freeze, only two with Nutt. I haven't done my own research to verify that. We'll just take Andy's word for it. I thought the stuff I was seeing was saying contrary to that, but we'll go with Andy. If you want to research it yourself, hey, do so. Nutt was suing for defamation and would have won had Ole Miss not settled out of court. Now, it is true that it was boosters, but there is no way a coach that is that good at winning doesn't know every stinking thing that goes on with this team. So when the hammer dropped on Ole Miss, they knew that they had to get Freeze gone, and the call girls were a way they could fire him and not have to pay him. That's actually a pretty good point. Bottom line, Tigers don't change their stripes. Hugh Freeze is garbage. Don't doubt that, and Kiffin ain't any better than Freeze. Literally anyone but those two. I will get behind the next head coach, but I will not spend a dime if either Freeze or Kiffin become the next head hog. Boom.
Man, dropping some knowledge there.
So I know that was long. Thanks for indulging, but I do think Andy has a good, important, you know, you might call that insider, you know, definitely insider in the profession. And he also texted later on after the LSU game. This is much shorter. Just talking about KJ Jefferson. Jefferson doesn't have much of a football IQ, pulling up short on third down twice and catching his own batted ball down pass. Can't do those things. Got a great point. Chad, what did you think about old KJ Jefferson in the LSU game?
The third down was awful. Him and then KJ did it twice and then someone else did it.
It was Burks.
I forgot. Yeah, Burks. They both. They were like half a yard away from the sticks. Like, do we not know what these two sticks mean? Like, that means it's a first down.
Yeah.
So that was, I mean, I didn't think he was going to win the game, but let's just do some of the basics, right? And then, yeah, why did you catch the ball? I know it's just instinct, but yeah, I don't know. He's so young, the true freshman. So there's just not much. Not much to talk about with the football team as the positives.
A good coach will get them set straight on all that, you know.
Yeah.
But it does show, you're exactly right, Andy. He doesn't have a high football IQ at this time. He needs a good coach to coach him in that.
Yeah.
Hopefully we get one, because that guy is not on our current staff on the football team. And I think we will. I don't think it takes a whole heck of a lot to do that. Apparently we still couldn't do that. Chad, did you have any, you know, positive or any kind of takeaways from the LSU game? Anything that surprised you? Anything at all? I know I had kind of one thing.
My biggest positive takeaway, season's over Friday, Tommy. It's over. The worst history in Arkansas history, over. So that's it. Friday, we're done. We're going to lose to Missouri, and we're all – it'll be sad, but then we're going to watch the basketball team on Saturday, and we're all going to be really happy again.
See, I disagree with you, but I'll either be very wrong and you'll be very right, or I'll be one of either way, we're going to rub it in the other one's face. So that's good.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
let me ask you this. How good is Kelly Bryant feeling right now?
I think he's pretty not feeling that great.
Oh, okay. Obviously, Missouri is not good either, but I mean, he was, they're not bowl eligible. I mean, they wouldn't have been bowl eligible anyway, but how bad would he have felt coming here though? I mean, same time. Think about it. Like, if you would have come, because it was down to Missouri and Arkansas, right?
It is interesting to play that game of how would he have made a difference?
What do you think? No. I'm going to say no. Look what he's done at Missouri.
I'll put it this way. I'm glad he didn't, because if he could have made that, like, Band-Aid improvement for us, I don't want to deal with having Coach Morris more on the staff. So let's say he was able to win us 4 games this year, 5 games even. Let's just say. That might have kept Morris's job. And it's like, no, he's not a good coach. I'm glad we moved on. I'm glad everything fell apart. I'm glad the wheels just totally was terrible. Best case scenario, we got rid of him when we did. So I'm glad, I guess, ultimately that Kelly Bryant didn't come, because I do think he would have been a better quarterback than what we had what we have right now on our team. But before we move off to Kelly Bryant and the Missouri game, my one positive I had from the LSU game, I really liked how Lunny managed the game in the fourth quarter. Of course, most of the game was not fun to watch. First quarter was fairly fine. You know, we were keeping it pretty close for a little bit. But the fourth quarter, I love where Lunny's head is at. You know, he put in Jack Lindsey at quarterback. He let TJ Hammonds run at running back. He let John David White catch some nice balls. He put Hudson Henry in the game. He put these Arkansas kids in the game because he knew this game is meaningless to all these players, or the majority of these players. The guys that this will be meaningful to are the kids that have been watching this game being played their whole life and have wanted that boot each and every year, and are going to go out there and they're going to give their best just for the pure principle of they are playing in the game they love and they care about, because it's an important game to them. They're not there for stats. They're just there to say, I played in Death Valley against LSU, the game I dreamed about playing in my whole life as a kid. We didn't win, but they gave their best and they had some success. And Lunny understands that about Arkansas, and I was proud that he gave those guys that opportunity, because no matter what happens for John David, why any of those guys, Jack Lindsey might not start or play in another game ever again. Seems like he will, maybe against Missouri, but he might not. And he'll always remember that till the day he dies. He played at Death Valley. He played in LSU for the boot and did pretty good, you know? Didn't win a game, but that's cool. You know, those are the memories that will last his whole life. And I think that's my one cool thing from the game.
I give you that. But same time, we still got destroyed. We're still a really bad football team.
I think we embarrassed Coach O a little bit with the onside kick. I think he didn't like that and got a little embarrassed. So that felt good.
Yeah. I'm done with football. I can't. I'm in a bad place.
So, last thing, you gotta at least give us something about the coaching search. You gotta give some opinion. You gotta give a hot take, Chad. What are you thinking? Anything? Got anything for the coaching search? New names have kind of surfaced, or slightly new. Luke Fickell, he's kind of the new hot name, maybe, but very unlikely we'll get the job, I think. But a name that surfaced, other than your guys that were being talked about the past few weeks.
What are you feeling? You got anything?
I still feel like things are slowly creeping towards Lane Kiffin. I kind of feel that way personally. He's one of those guys that I don't like these guys. I just feel like it's, if you're reading the tea leaves on how things are going, I don't think Luke Fickell is a true, I think they're interviewing him, but I don't think he's going to get the job. I don't think Arkansans want somebody from Ohio coaching the team. He just isn't that right personality fit. I just can't envision him getting the job at all. Whether he'd be good at it, I don't know. Sure, he could be, but I just don't think they'd make that hire. Lane Kiffin seems like a guy who, I'll put it this way. If you think about a hire who could come in and other coaches in the SEC would be like, oh, that's interesting, or wow, okay, that guy's a legit coach. Lane Kiffin is one of those guys that I do think has some cred in the SEC, and guys like Matt Luke and Joe Moorhead and, you know, Jimbo Fisher and Nick Saban would be like, oh, yeah, Lane Kiffin's back in the SEC. I better start paying attention. That guy's going to bring some,
yeah,
you know, some weight or like some gravitas to his name. Like he's got some authority there just from his, you know, name. Mike Leach, I don't even think really has that as much. Like if Mike Leach came to the SEC, everybody be like, well, I guess we got to defend his air raid, whatever. But not too scared of Mike Leach. I mean, Mike Leach will beat some guys. I don't think they'd be scared of like Luke Fickell, all the other names. I don't think they'd be scared of Mike Norvell. But Lane Kiffin is the one name that might perk other coaches' ears just a little bit. Like if he gets the right defensive coordinator, offensive coordinator, he could accumulate a really good staff, I feel like, potentially.
That's a good point. And you made a very logical, thought out, like well-versed response. And what I'm about to say is like the complete opposite of that. It doesn't make any sense. So having said that, you got the educated response. And for me, all I'm thinking about is, what basketball coach out there would you most like to see as a head football coach at Arkansas? I know you're looking at me like I'm an idiot. That's fine. That's where my head's at with this football coach. I want Bobby Knight out there coaching football. Go get him. Right? What's he doing? He's hanging out.
Nothing.
No?
You know who I'd go and get?
Nolan could do it.
Nolan?
Yeah.
A funny thought I had, and I know some of y'all follow this stuff really closely, so you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. So whenever the fall football camp, the first practice was going on, Musselman went to the first practice, right? And they took some pictures of Musselman. And I always thought, like, he looked really ticked off in that. He didn't look happy. And I'm like, I think we understand why. Like, Musselman is very awesome at coaching, and he does these neat things, you know, with his, like, making players wear, like, gloves on their hands and doing all this, you know, playing soccer and stuff just to promote skills, you know, just to have fun. But I guarantee he watched that practice and was like, I don't even want to put this guy's methods into my mind right now because it's so inferior to what I do. You know, I really wish we knew more there. Like, did he actually learn anything from that? He was probably like, wow, this is awful.
Let's get him on the show. Let's get Muscle on the show.
That would be.
Come on. Let's ask him. True story. What was your raw thoughts? That would be gold. I would love to hear that.
I think you and I would just, we would just be starstruck. I think we love him so much. We're like fanboys. We would say,
oh yeah.
We would say the word love so many times in that segment. We love you, coach. We just love, and he'd be like, these guys, just bye.
I feel like he wouldn't like us at first. We'd be too much. Yeah, we'd be groveling too much. Oh. We'd have a bad first impression. We got to cool down for a little
bit. Have you ever been starstruck, Chad? Have you ever seen a celebrity out somewhere and got that like feeling in your gut of like that nervous feeling? Has that ever happened to you?
For me, I get excited. I got to go talk to this person. That's like my first thought. So I don't necessarily get like nervous, but like I got to say hi, right?
So
you got to say something.
If you were in a restaurant,
if I saw Michael Jordan, I would. If I saw Michael, yeah. I'd die.
I've seen a couple celebrities, you know, probably no major celebrities in the wild, like just out and about. But it was weird. The one celebrity, and it's even a minor celebrity, I guarantee most people don't even know this player because he's not even that big, but he was a Nashville Predator, and I was eating a burger at a Burger Up, and he walked in the door, and I got that feeling of like, if he were to talk to me, I couldn't talk to him back. Like, it was just that. And I was like, that was the weirdest feeling. Like, I don't even think I felt that way about this player, but it was Colin Wilson, of all people. I got like starstruck with Colin Wilson. And I've seen, like, I saw like some of the people from Lady Antebellum out in the wild. I saw Jordan Tutu. I saw a lot of other Preds players, and I never felt that way with them. But for some reason, Colin Wilson, he made me just that nervous gut, can't talk feeling.
Oh, that, I mean, me and my boy Colin, we had the exact opposite reaction. We actually went up and got a selfie with him like an idiot. But it's a beautiful selfie of me and Colin at the Tin Roof in Nashville. So I did not have that. I had the Carl Wilson. What's up, man?
Well, everyone who's listening, go follow the podcast on Twitter at humble_podcast. Also, go follow it on Instagram at hearttobehumblepodcast. Also, always, always, people, feel free to text in or call in and leave a voicemail. Any of your thoughts, ideas, anything, love to hear from you. Get on the show. It's fun. At 615-392-0107. All right, Chad, you've got to leave us with a parting shot. Chad's parting shot of the week.
Parting shot. Here it is. When you're spending family time over Thanksgiving, try to... Now, this is going to sound bad at first. Okay? So, let me finish. Say something degrading to a family member and, like, kind of cut them down a little bit. All right? Like, kind of bring them down a notch. Okay? So, just kind of... whatever that looks like for you. But then 5 to 10 minutes later, bring them back up. All right. So cut them down, tear them down, and build them back up.
Does it need to be a real thing, like or something made up?
No. No. It can be completely made up. Just try to make somebody angry and then follow up with a nice compliment.
All right.
Just spice up.
I want to hear your example of that when we get back. I want to know what you did. The cut down comment and then the build back up.
Okay. Deal.
You know, this pie really is not very good. But your mashed potatoes are to die for. Something like that. And then they'll just, they won't be happy. They'll be so mad.
I'll let you
know. All right. Let us know. Well, all right. As Mac Davis taught us so long ago, it can be really hard to be humble, especially when you're rooting for the Arkansas Razorback basketball team. Woo-pig.
Woo-pig.
Welcome. Did you hear that? Did you hear my phone?
Yeah.
It literally went off right at the second I started. That was so funny. All right,
bloopers.
We'll silence that.